Can you start the recording on your end, please?
Yes, the recording has started. Please go ahead.
Great, thank you. Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone. Welcome to the new GTLD Subsequent Procedures Subgroup B call held on Tuesday, the 4th of December, 2018. In the interest of time, there will be no roll call. Attendance will be taken by the Adobe Connect room. If you're only on the audio bridge, could you please let yourself be known now? And I do have Juan Manuel Rojas on audio only. Anyone else? Okay. We just want to remind everyone to please state your name before speaking for the recording purposes, and please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid any background noise. And with this, I'll turn it back over to Krista Taylor. Please begin.
Thank you. It's Krista Taylor for the record. Thanks, everyone, for joining us. As you can see from the agenda, we have four items to cover. The first topic is review of the agenda, and are there any items that we should add to it? As always, if anything arises during the call, we can add it to the end or in any other business. Seeing no typing or hands, going to jump to the next item, which is whether anyone has any updates to their SOI, and if so, could you please let us know now? Seeing no hands and no comments, jump right into item number 3, which is continuation of section 2.5.1, the application fees, and we'll begin where we left off last time, which is C-4, which is, I think, cell 38 in the Excel doc. Just a couple notes. I did add a couple columns in my review in hopes that it kind of makes it a little bit easier as we proceed going forward. And secondly, if we seem to get off topic a little bit, I'm hoping reel us back in the interest of time before we get too far. So I correct that from last week. So starting on cell 38, the question is, the application fee floor is a predetermined value that is the minimum application fee. By definition, an application fee floor will not, will not meet the revenue neutral principle as the floor amount will be greater than the application fees created, creating an excess. In the event that an application fee floor is used to determine the application fee, excess fees received by ICANN, if the application fee floor is invoked, should be used to benefit the following categories: support general outreach and awareness for the new GTLD program, i.e. universal awareness and universal acceptance initiative; support the GTLD long-term program needs, such as system upgrades, fixed assets, etc., and application support programs; top off any shortfall in the segregated fund as described below. In here we have the ALAC, or the first comments, we have the ALAC, the brand registry group, the BC, Newstar, the registry stakeholder group, Vonda, all agree with it. And I'm just trying to review for any other little comments. The registry stakeholder group has a bit of a different note where they describe the transparency, which I've added to the parking lot. Get lost in the document here a little bit. The other item is Validaeus. They seem to agree, again, the item of transparency arises. And Validaeus doesn't strictly agree. They seem to agree, but they add in the comment on transparency. And INTA agrees, but they've added the comment on how to use the funds, and they note contractual compliance. So those are all of the items in that one section. I'd like to note that there are a lot of comments around transparency, and we're going to see that a bunch of times through this. So I did add one suggestion in, I think it was cell G12, where I just put a comment, and maybe something we should consider going forward is lumping it all together that we can bring back to the full group on improved accuracy, transparency, accountability, and determination of how any excess or shortage of funds should be described to applicants before they start the application round. I think this was a little bit, this was implied, but you'll see it keeps coming up. So I'm just going to plant that seed now. And as we roll through these, you're going to probably see more of that. So that's kind of in the parking lot there. Any comments to section 2.5.1C4? Seeing nothing there, I'm going to jump to, Jim.
Hey, Krista.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Thanks.
Go ahead.
Hey, yeah, thanks, Krista. Jim Prendergast, just not specific to this section, but the two columns you added were the parking lot and then suggested action. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah, I kind of like this. Maybe it's something we can replicate in the other two work tracks. I think it's a helpful addition. Thanks.
Thanks. We'll see how it works. You'll see it more, hopefully, when we get into the second section. Hopefully, we can cover today on the variable fees where I've copied and pasted. So if I say it's in the parking lot, it means I've already posted it in the other sections. So hopefully that helps. We'll see. It's a test one, and I can always just delete them if it doesn't work. So seeing no comments on this section, I'm going to jump into 2.5.1C5, which states, to help alleviate the burden of an overall shortfall, a separate segregated fund should be set up that can be used to absorb any shortfalls and top up in a later round. The amount of the contingency should be a predetermined value that is reviewed periodically to ensure its adequacy. So we have the Brand Registry Group and INTA who agree with this. We have the ALAC that agrees, but they also have the idea that the amount set aside for contingency should be funded from the excess fees received because of the application fee floor. We then have the Registry Stakeholder Group, which also notes the comment that there shouldn't be a shortage, i.e. we should be conservative, as I noted before, and we should err towards excess funds as opposed to having any shortfalls. So they agree, but just with a little bit of a adjustment there. And then we have the New Star comment, which is the same one which we reviewed several times, and it doesn't really specifically address this section from what I can see. Any comments to this section? Jim, is that a new hand?
It is.
So go ahead.
On row 48, I believe what you said is correct, and that is the Brand Registry Group supports the recommendation, but the working group response has it listed as divergent. So I'm just wondering if I'm missing something there or in fact, it is somehow considered divergent. That's all. side. So according to Steve, it looks like it might be an error, which very rarely happens. So.
Chris, if you're speaking, we're not hearing you.
Oh, my apologies. Thank you. Sorry. I'm seeing no other hands on that section, so I'm going to jump to the next section, which is 2.5.1E1. And just trying to locate it on Excel. My apologies. It says, to the extent that warehousing squatting of TLDs has taken place and may occur in the future, what other restrictions, methodologies beyond pricing might prevent such behavior? So we have the registry stakeholder group who bring a new idea forward, which is commit to make use of their TLDs within a given, consider having applicants commit to making use of their TLDs within a given period, potentially have a lack of use be a valid reason for revocation of a TLD upon challenge by a third party, providing this obligation would not apply to brand TLDs. Then we have the brand registry, a group. They're not really having any ideas. They're just saying the application process is a deterrent enough, being that it's taken so long. We have the registry stakeholder group saying, again, they're not really providing any new ideas, but they're looking for data to support the warehousing concept. And then we have INTA also relating to the data concept. And they're not aware of any warehousing squatting to date. And I did a two items, which is TLDs which contain common words, which really isn't related to the question, and then objection to proposed TLD is successful, then the cost of the objection would be borne by the applicant. And I added that to the parking lot in that section. So I'm not sure if anyone has any comments to this section or ideas. So Anne says, although this is a substantive comment, I'll venture to make it anyways. The issue of warehousing is going to be very directly related to application fees. We don't have any other comments when we were discussing the first sections on it. And this is the only place where the warehousing concept has come up, and everyone seems to think that it's not an issue, but perhaps something we can bring up maybe to the full group on that if we would like for further discussion. Jim, please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Krista. It's Jim. Yeah, I agree. To your last point there about bringing it up to the full group, I think that might be beneficial, only because I'm having a difficult time remembering, one, who raised this issue, but also whether or not it did or did not apply to dot brands. I think there was some specific concern about all these brands that applied for them and they're not doing anything. I think that's where this comes from, but I can't be 100% sure, so it'd be helpful if whoever raised this issue can expound upon it a little further on the plenary level. Thanks.
Hi, Krista. We lost you again. Sorry, I'm being really bad with a mute today. Anne also agrees to bring it to the full group. So seeing no other comments to that section, I'm going to jump to the next section, which is 2.5.1E2, which is cell or line 58, in case that helps anyone. And it says, the question is, what happens if the revenue cost neutral amount results in a refund that is greater than the application fee floor value? Should it be only the difference between the cost floor and the amount refunded? Should there be a minimum dollar value for this to come into effect, i.e. the amount of the refund is a small amount, and if so, should this excess be distributed differently, i.e. universal awareness, applicant support, other? So we have INTA that disagrees. They don't support any fees to universal awareness, applicant support, et cetera, and it should be all refunded back to applicants. We have the ALAC, which agrees with the excess excess fees from the fee floor support other items. And I'm inferring that a little bit when I refer back to other items, as it doesn't specifically say that, but when you combine it with the other comments, it seems to be aligned. And they also have the concern that it's that's where I went back, they make the note that whether this is about what is left after spending the excess fees received to benefit the categories as described. Apologies there. We have the IPC, which agrees to the excess funds, but they have a difference on the different categories, which is to advance the public interest. So suggest that I'll see if anyone has any comments on whether they agree or any ideas around the public interest comment there. Then we have the last comment, which is the registry stakeholder group. They agree, A, with the fees being returned, B, where to use the fees, and then B, I'm adding the comment on transparency again to the parking lot comment that I was mentioning earlier. Christine notes it is not a recommendation, so I think it's hard to agree or disagree. It's merely an open-ended question. Agree. I was just trying to figure out a way to kind of put it all together. Ruben says, is intercomment an agreement or disagreement? And Christine's comment, I think, is referring to that. Any other comments to 2.5.1.E2? Christine agrees. Thanks. Anne says, working group needs to consider how the auction proceeds solution may address the IPC regarding the advance of public interest if those funds could be used there. I'm going to put that in the parking lot. Can we make sure we capture that and then we can add it to that comment, because we're going to see some overlap with the auction proceeds on a couple other comments. Perfect. Thanks. I'm going to jump now to 2.5.
Krista, yep. Before we move, you have a hand up from Donna.
Thanks. Sorry. Go ahead, Donna.
Thanks, Krista. Donna Alston from NewStar. Just in relation to the IPC comment, do they at any point explain what they mean by public interest? So in my mind, universal awareness is in the public interest, but others might have a different view of that. So absent an explanation of what the IPC thinks is the public interest, I think it makes it, it's pretty broad if they're not defining what public interest is. So that's a bit of a concern for me. Thanks.
Thanks, Donna.
differentiate in my head all the different comments right now, but I'll add it as an action item to see if it's defined somewhere else in the responses. And return back to that probably on the next call or in the mailing list. I had to check if I'm off mute. Section 2.4. Anne says, I can go back and ask the IPC about this comment. And that would be great, Anne, but I'll also refer to the document. I'm sure it's in there, but we'll check. Section 2.5.1E3, the question is, what are the considerations and implications if we move to continuous rounds, in this case limited to how it relates to ensuring the program is run in a revenue-neutral manner? We have INTA that refers to applications that the cost will become lower. We have the registry stakeholder group also suggesting the item of periodic, no less than annual true-up cost and revenue, which should be used to provide a periodic, not more than frequently, than annual adjustment to application fees. Then we have Fonda, who also refers back to the transparency item, and I added part of that to section 2.7.7 with the new idea that the whole independent panel shall be registered as a list of persons open to join in a different panel anytime for a specific task they are experts for each application. When needed, a reduced panel of three will be selected for a working day to analyze the application. So that's been added to that section, and that is all for E3. Any comments there? Seeing no comments, I'm going to jump to the next section, which is 2.5.1E4. Are there policy, economic, or other principles or factors that might help guide the establishment of floor amount? The registry stakeholder group has the idea that the floor amount should be kept as low as possible in order to avoid discouraging underserved communities and to encourage competition and innovation. The registry stakeholder group also believes that the floor amount should not be so low as to encourage speculative applications. We're going to see this also a lot, and I think this would be an item that we should bring to the full group on how we could possibly balance these two different perspectives, because it seems to be an ongoing item that keeps coming up, and we don't really have any solutions to it, so worthwhile to bring to the full group. We also have Alexander Schubert, who has a few comments here, a couple of which I've added to the parking lot in the other sections. So he does address the supply-demand aspect, but nothing on how to set the fee floor. He's got the processing time, and it's addressing the processing time and the revenue neutral. And he's suggesting that in order to keep the amount manageable, in order to prevent an application stack that would take 2 or even 3 years to work off, we should set the applications high and then bring it down over time. The amount he sets at the suggests at 500,000 US for the next round to hopefully reduce it to only 100 applications or less. Of course, this wouldn't be revenue neutral, I wouldn't guess. And that's his comment. I added the time aspect of the 2 or 3 years to the parking lot on 2.7.6.C.2. But any comments? I'll actually do one more comment and then we'll see if there's any other items, which is the last one is INTA. And they disagree as they don't want a fee floor. Any comments to any of the items brought forward on that section? Seeing no hands, see people typing, I'm just going to wait a second. Okay, I'm going to jump to 2.5.1E5, which is line 71. The question is, under the circumstance where the application fee is set at the floor amount, do you have any additional suggestions or strategy on the disbursement of excess funds? So we have the ALAC, who has the idea, also the separate fund in 2.5.1C5 could be funded by plan for excess funds. We have the registry stakeholder group that has the idea that the excess remains after taking into the account the minimum fee floor, then ICANN should add that excess amount to the segregated fund as described. And B, adjust fees in future TLD application rounds to account for any remaining excess amount. I believe I added that to section 2.5.2 in the parking lot. We then have Vanda saying, I believe the best alternative will be to fund to be distributed as defined in section 1.5C4. And then we have INTA that believes any excess funds should be refunded to applicants. Any comments? Sorry, I missed two items. Just as a side note, I don't know when the ICANN board can actually determine the public interest, but I believe it would have to be limited by ICANN's mission. Steve, and I've added a note in the suggested action column to state review full comment to determine if public interest might be defined. I'm not really seeing any comments to this section, so I'm going to jump to the next section. I'm moving right along today, hooray. So 2.5.1E6, which is line 76, are we acknowledging and accepting of ICANN being a so-called registry of registries, i.e. does the community envision ICANN approving a few thousand, hundreds of thousands, millions of GTLDs to be added to the route, and should there be a cap? Overall, the comments are, if it's technically sound and it doesn't risk the security and stability of the Internet, there shouldn't be a cap. And this is the ALAC comments that any cap set on the number of new GTLDs should be initially be determined by what the root zone system can handle technically. We have the SBAC stating that there shouldn't be a cap. We have INTA, again, no cap, and the Registry Stakeholder Group, no cap. Any comments? Seeing no hands, no typing, no comments. Going to jump to 2.5.1E7, which is on line 81. And the question is there a way in which the application fee can be structured such that it can encourage competition and innovation? And again, this is going to see that balance. Again, I was referring before. So we have the ALAC, which has the idea that numbers and statistics are necessary, clear estimates, and contingency planning in order to determine a level of application fees to be set. And they agree with a statement on page 79 that, quote, the work track recognizes that additional analysis would be needed to establish a new estimated cost. So this is aligned with the costing. As we discussed earlier, we have INTA. They don't seem to have any new ideas here, but or anything new to directly related to this question, but suggest that they support a pricing system that reflects actual cost to ICANN. And competition and innovation will follow with predictable fees and delegation outcomes. And then we have the registry stakeholder group. Again, no new ideas here, but they believe the best way to encourage competition and innovation is to keep the fees as low as possible with the revenue principle and to be structured in a way that all applications incur the same base application fee amount. Any comments? Christine has a comment, so we're referring to the SBAC comment then. So you have your hand raised. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks. This is Christine. Just wanted to clarify. I may have looked away for a split second. In the previous section, there was an SBAC comment that had some new ideas and some concerns. I didn't actually hear you mention that, so I don't actually have any objection to moving the SBAC comment to the full working group, but I didn't hear you mention it, so I just wanted to make sure that I wasn't the only one that just didn't hear it.
My apologies. You're correct. I have that entire item that suggested move it to section 2.7.6, and that is the full excerpt from SAC 100. With the recommendation there. I see you're typing, so I'm just going to wait to see if that makes sense. Yeah, thanks. Okay, my apologies, and thanks for the catch. So I'm not seeing any comments on 2.5.1E7. So I'm going to jump to the last one, hooray, which is 2.5.1E8. And I think Cheryl will probably have the line item for me, which is, how do we address the timely disbursement of excess funds? Can this happen prior to the end of the evaluation process for all applications? If yes, please explain. Sorry, I'm having problems finding the rest of the comment. Looks like it got deleted and needs to be replaced. So sorry, I don't have the rest of that comment. If anyone has a printout and wants to read the rest after the if yes, please explain, that'd be great. If not, I'm just going to jump to the two comments. One was INTA. That believes that the disbursements should occur at the end of each round. The second one is the registry stakeholder group that believes it should be refunded in phases. And again, there's that comment on transparency. Seeing no hands there or comments other than we will fix that, and hopefully I wasn't the one who messed it up, which it could have been, and my apologies. I'm seeing a couple of people type. That one question I think was messed up in the document, and it could be me, but we will fix it, or it looks like it's already been fixed. So the actual question in full is, if yes, please explain. If not, what is the length of time applicants should expect a refund after the evaluation process is complete? So I think we've still addressed the question in the review, or the responses in the review. Okay. So moving into variable fees, and thankfully this is a little bit shorter than the prior section, but here you're going to see where the tie-in and the overlap occurs between the different items. So reviewing the document online is going to be your best bet. So jumping into variable fees section 2.5.2.C.1, the question is, I'm going to wait for the update in Adobe. Thanks, Steve. Through WorkTrack 1, though WorkTrack 1 discussed a number of different potential alternative approaches, there was no agreement on the alternatives to the 2012 round, namely that all applications should incur the same base application fee amount, regardless of the type of application or the number of applications that the same applicant submits. This would not preclude the possibility of additional fees in certain circumstances, as was the case in the 2012 round of the program, i.e. objections, registry service evaluation processes, et cetera. The BC agrees with this, that the fee should be the same for all applicants. Marquise believes the evaluators or adds a new category there where they say review of a business plan. And I suggest that we do parking lot on that to section 2.7.7 with that idea where the review process is noted. Marquis also suggests that the brand participation include from the Global South and SMEs, that the base application fee should, which all applicants should pay for the standard with a supplementary top-up fees, paid for more detailed evaluation. We have the public interest community with a new idea, at least in a given category of new GTLDs, and suggest a single fee structure be adopted. Or sorry, let me rephrase that. We recommend that a single fee structure be adopted at least in a given category of new GTLDs, so they're not against having different fees by category. We have the registry stakeholder group that has the same base application fee amount regardless of the type of application or the number of applications, and also notes there should there was no additional fee to registry service evaluation process since it was part of the application fee. There was a possible fee of registry services technical evaluation panel, RSEP. Therefore, this reference should be corrected. We have the ALAC that suggests the consider discounted application fees for community applications with nonprofit intentions. We have the ICANN org ask for clarifications on the all applications should incur the same base amount application fee amount. Extend to scenarios beyond the quote type of application or number of applications. For example, when an applicant proposing to use a pre-approved RSP, pay the same application fee as one who proposes to operate its own back-end registry functions and thus requiring technical evaluations. I don't know if that's more of a comment. I think the idea when we were discussing this before is the application fees would be discounted for that and the cost savings would be passed along to applicants, which would be reflected in the application fee amount. Then we have the Government of India submitted by the IN Registry, which has a divergent perspective here, saying a different application process or requirements can be developed for different categories, and instead of the current single fee amount, a cost-based fee structure suitable to each TLD category be developed so as to allow for better representation for local communities and developing countries. And then we have the brand registry group, which is suggesting that metrics be required to assess whether significant cost differentials occur across the different types of applicants, and if identified fees should be adjusted accordingly in future and can be refunded proportionally in the event of excess fees being returned to applicants. And they're suggesting an amount greater than 20%. So that's the end of that section. Reading the comments, there's a long one here. Rubens, I'm not sure where you're reading from. Can you help out? It was a comment or ID. I'm not sure if you want me to read that entire section there or... Don't read it out. Okay. Oh, it's referring to the public interest committee. Okay. Sorry. My apologies. Seeing no comments on that section, going to jump to 2.5.2D1. Clicking on the document again. The question, sorry, I can't find the line item.
It's line 17, Krista, Cheryl here, but Anne has her hand up, and I think you missed a registry stakeholder group one.
Okay, thanks. Just go ahead, Anne.
Hello?
Yep, go ahead. We can hear you.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hi, it's Anne for the transcript and Anne Aitken-Scalise. And I just had wanted to note, Krista, that on that Government of India comment or the IN registry and the brand registry group comment about variable application fees for different types of application, is that a topic that we are referring to for discussion to the full working group, because it seems worthwhile to do so. Thank you.
I believe so. Just reviewing. Yeah, that would be a comment we're going to bring to the entire working group. And as Ruben,
okay, so the assumption, I guess the assumption we should have is that if it says divergence, the issue is coming to the full working group, or are we, I don't want to, you know, make an intervention on everything that, if the assumption is that everything that says divergence is coming to the full working group, that's one thing. But if it's not the assumption, then we'd have to make more comments on the call, I guess. Sorry, I'm not really clear on the protocol there.
Yeah, I think it depends on the degree, or I don't know. I think it depends on the comment itself of whether or not it should go to the full working group. If it's something that's so different, like in this case, then I would say, yeah, it should be, and we'll note it to make sure that we do bring it. If it's something, it sounds a little bit similar, then it's up to us to kind of make the comment or the call on, should we send it to the full working group? At least that's my interpretation.
Oh.
And go ahead.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Chris. It's Anne again, and thanks for that clarification. I'm happy to know. Thank you.
Yeah, and if I don't capture it, or if it's, or we don't capture it in the notes and in the different items on the working doc, please just make sure you catch us on it. Okay, so moving to the next section, which is on line 17, 2.5.2D1, different application fees for different types of applications is only warranted if the cost incurred for processing those different types is significant. For discussion purposes, 20% was used. We have the BC that agrees with the comment, along with INTA. We have the NCSG agrees, however, they have no changes to fees due to processing resources. And then we have the registry stakeholder group, which disagrees. There should be no change to the fee retroactively. We have the BC, which disagrees. They want the same for all applications, and I'm referring to the prior section to give that some context. And then we have the ALAC. They agree somewhat with consideration to community applications and the likely increased cost due to the nature of the application. Any comments to that section?
Yeah, Juan here, Juan Rojas from here, from NCSG.
Go ahead.
Yeah, from NCSG, we are concerned about variable fees, especially those that would lower the cost of application of incumbents and brands, because by extension, these raise the cost for newcomers in the Global South and DAOs trying to offer GTLDs to other communities. And we have to have in mind that this is not an applicant sport. We think we need a fair balancing pricing for all. That's our comment in that section specifically. Thank you.
Great, thank you. Any other comments? Okay, seeing none, I'm going to jump to line 24, which is 2.5.2D2. Fees imposed for changing a type of application should be higher than applying for the desired TLD type originally. For discussion purposes, the applicant must pay 125% of the difference between the different application types in terms of fees plus any other related processing fees. So we have INTA that agreed. We have the NCSG, who agrees with the variable fees and also notes the accreditation program, which I suggest we park in section 2.2.6, which is a separate subgroup, so we'll make sure we bring it to them. Then we have NuSTAR, which diverges from this, saying that the application fee for new GTLD should be the same regardless of the type of TLD an applicant intends to operate, and all applicants should be responsible for the development cost of the application systems and evaluation process and other required resources. They also have the concern that we believe that different application fees could potentially add an unnecessary layer of administration to the process that may become a source of disagreement and impact the predictability of the process. And then the comment on it is a unique and valuable piece of the internet. So I think a part of that was addressed in section of 2.5.1C3 on the application fees. And then we have the registry stakeholder group, which has a divergent comment, which believes the applicant should not be charged by a higher fee for making any changes to their applications that are permitted changes under the applicant's guidebook. So I'm not sure if that's really addressed at the question or just in general, because I didn't see anything in the applicant guidebook on the actual fee amount there. But please correct me if I'm wrong. Any comments to that section? Okay, seeing nothing. Section 2.5.2E1.
Hey,
yep. Oh, Donna, please go ahead. Sorry. Steve, go ahead and then Donna.
I also have my hand raised too. Thanks. This is Steve from staff. I was going to say that the which one was it? The one you were just talking about. Sorry, actually, Donna, go ahead. Let me find my spot in the document. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Krista. Donna Austin from New Star. So just in relation to what the registry comment meant, and, you know, given this was done a long time ago, I may be off base here, but I think the reference to what was allowable in the guidebook was that you could actually make a change to your application. So I think that's the part that the comment was trying to address, that changes were allowed. So there shouldn't be any additional fee associated with, so long as it's captured in the guidebook, there shouldn't be any additional fee. I think that's what it was getting to, but I'm not 100% sure. Thanks.
Thanks, Donna. I'll have to do a little bit more research there. Steve?
Thanks, Krista. This is Steve from staff, and thankfully I found my spot. So the part where it talks about permitted changes under the applicant guidebook, I was thinking that might make sense to reference to the one of the topics actually in the supplemental issue report related to application change requests. So I just wanted to suggest that might be a good cross-reference. Thanks.
Yeah, that would be great. Okay, I'm going to, unfortunately, I was trying to get through this entire doc, but let's try one more little section here, and it's only got two comments. So section 2.5.2E1, line 31, if a number of applications exceeds capacity limits and the projected processing costs, assuming these are limiting factors, should there be an option to increase capacity and the cost to meet service expectations? If so, how should capacity versus increased costs and or limits be set? What is an acceptable increase, and how would the actual percentage be determined? The INTA has a comment, but it's not really directly related, noting that ICANN should become, as it becomes more efficient in processing new TLD applications, costs should become relatively stable or decrease. And then we have the registry stakeholder group saying that there's no clear reason that the per application processing cost should be higher as the number of applications increases. So I think I'll probably have to stop there. Unfortunately, not the end of this section. But on the next call, we'll pick up those last couple sections in this variable fees, and I'll jump to any other business. Four minutes left. You know, I could run for the next one. I'm actually going to call it there because the next section, I think, is a little bit too long.
The next section does go on a little bit more than 3 minutes, I think. So. But it was darn close.
Okay, on that, everyone's got the extra couple minutes, and thank you for their time, and we'll join up, or we'll continue on the conversation and finish off this section on the next call, and I don't have the time directly in front of me, but I believe it should be in a week from now. So thank you, everyone, and if you have any comments or items afterwards, please feel free to let us know. Cheers.
Thanks, Krista. All right, today's meeting's been adjourned. Thank you, everyone, for joining. You can disconnect your lines, and I can stop the recording. Thanks.